59. A warm and calloused hand. The cobblestone streets of Victoria were solid under Modo's feet. He felt solid, too, even though he wasn't certain about what he'd just done. The decision had come upon him so suddenly and so perfectly that he'd acted on it without the slightest hesitation. He was deeply sad now, when he pictured the disappointment in Mr. Socrates' eyes. He'd see him again, he was certain of that, but on his own terms, living his own life. Modo didn't have a plan for his future employment. He had the strength to work on the railways, or in the mines, or, better yet, on a farm in the Wild West. He loved the idea of just bending his back to a task without worrying about the fate of the empire. A swift step and a hissing noise alerted him. But before he could react, a hard blow fell on the back of his head, and he collapsed to the ground. He expected a knife between the ribs. Did Mr. Socrates mean to make sure he didn't leave the association? He rolled over to face his attacker. Tavia. Octavia stood over him, hands on her hips.
You left without me, you nizzy, you nincompoop.
It's for the best.
For the best. We're friends, Modo. You don't turn your back on a mate.
But you have a good life with the association. He was ashamed to hear his voice warble.
You didn't even ask me if I wanted to go along.
His head hurt.
What had she whacked him with? You made assumptions, you a sumptuous ass.
Assumptuous isn't a word.
Don't lecture me, you traitor.
Fine, he said with a huff. He stood, holding his head. Will you come with me?
No. Not now. Not ever.
Then what are you doing here? She took a deep breath, blew it out, and stamped her foot.
Modo, you're so frustrating. A terribly frustrating, terribly interesting man. And the silly thing is, I can't imagine not being around you. I do love your company.
He got to his feet, dumbfounded. Had she said love?
So?
She said, after several seconds had passed.
What are your thoughts? Do you have any?
I...
You know how I feel, Tavia. I do. How do you feel? Since you're so good with fancy words, tell me.
But he had very few words this time.
I can't imagine not being around you, either. I would like to travel with you. Where, I don't know.
And what of my face? My looks?
Modo, she said seriously. That will take some getting used to. But I've learned to put up with your personality. I'm sure in time I'll learn to put up with that, too. Day by day.
And I'll put up with yours, he retorted. But there's a further problem. We have no money, no tickets. She held up a familiar wallet.
I nicked this from Mr. Socrates. My final payment from the association.
You shouldn't have done that. Then he laughed.
There's enough in here for two tickets. Anywhere we want to go. At least second class.
Then where would you like to go?
San Francisco, she said. I like the way it sounds. We'll see where it takes us next.
She held up her hand.
But first, and this is my only condition, let us go hence to a bakery and eat cake.
Cake? Why?
Because, Modo, I've lost track of the days, but we missed your birthday.
He counted in his head. It was the last day of October. Actually, Tavia, my birthday is tomorrow. The thought of it, of celebrating his arrival on this earth, wasn't appealing. Octavia grabbed him by the shoulder, squeezing so hard that it hurt.
Don't go all soft on me, Modo. Don't think about your foolish mother or all those other things. This is your first birthday, and we're going to do it up in style. You listen to me. I'm older than you, and therefore wiser. Are you game?
She held out her hand. Modo laughed heartily and took it. It was calloused and warm. Hand in hand, they set off in search of a place to celebrate their new and not-so-new beginnings.